It's indeed a joy to be with you this morning and have the opportunity to open the Word of God and share and preach. I'm going to look in the book of Revelation, and the second chapter. Appreciate your prayers and interest for us and the work in Honduras. Glad to have fellows that preach the word in our absence down there. Church has some missionaries that our church is helping, and when we're away, then they come in and preach. Those that are not too far away, there's one in Colombia, and so he can't come, but the others that are there in Honduras. So that's a blessing. Okay, we're going to read these verses here in chapter 2 of the church at Smyrna. First church there was mentioned was Ephesus. Chapter 1, and John was to write to the seven churches. And so the first one was there at Ephesus. We're going to jump over the one at Ephesus. Preached that one last week. And so, okay, we're going to go to the second church here, the one in Smyrna tonight. This morning, and it says in verse 8, chapter 2, verse 8, "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and last, which is dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them that which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." Oh, that's a blessing. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for your word that's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We pray that you'd use your word in our lives and accomplish that which you purpose and please. There's lots of things in life that we don't see coming, but we thank you for this word that you gave to the apostle, and this word of what's coming, and so that we can be prepared and have an idea of what's coming in the future. So we thank you, God, and bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here in verse 10, he says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. The devil shall cast some of you into prison. Ye may be tried. Ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life." And so we can see from these verses, we're going to suffer. And well, this is written to a different church, you know, the church in Smyrna. And so there's seven churches, one in Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira and so on, till you get down to Laodicea. So seven churches that existed in that time. And also, the seven churches were different. And some people can see in this that each one sort of stands for a different part of the history of the church. And saying, okay, we're in the last, or the Laodicean age. And which you can see in that one, the people's heart had turned cold. And but we see these churches even in our days too, in other places. And even though this was a real literal church that existed back in that day, these letters are written to them, They got lots of things in them that we can see in churches today. And so he's given these warnings. The devil's going to cast some of you into prison. Well, in some places, and it's coming that way in America, where if you speak out against homosexuals, and if you speak out against the things that, you know, that the majority are against, maybe the day's coming when they'll put you in jail for saying certain things. Fear none of those things which you shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. So this could happen to us. You may be tried. Well, it's good to be tried, that our faith can be proved, that, hey, we're true Christians. No? So that's good that we'll be tried. And ye shall have tribulation, 10 days. Well, it's not for eternity we're going to be tried, just for a period of time. It's a short period of time. And then be faithful unto death. Been out visiting here in the area where Dale lives and talked to some people and, oh yeah, I used to be a Christian. I used to go out and witness like you are, but now I don't. And he didn't want to talk anymore. I mean, used to be a Baptist, used to go out witnessing. Now he doesn't want to talk and say anything about it. And I was thinking, wow, here it says, be faithful. You're going to be tried. Be faithful unto death. And you think back of people that have died there for the faith, you know, and they were glad that they could be counted, you know, as faithful to Jesus and even die in the faith and share in the cup, which Jesus had to drink, you know, the cup of sorrows. And he tried that bitter Calvary road. And some of the disciples wanted to be on one side and the other of him and his kingdom. And so he asked him, can you drink of the cup? And yeah, we can drink it. And he said, well, it's true, you're going to drink it. But they found out that it was a lot of hard things. Sometimes we tend to forget. You know, life, in a sense, don't have much persecution in the States. Hadn't had. But it looks like it's coming. And we need to be aware of it. And so he gives us a little warning. He said, okay, it's tribulation 10 days. It's not forever. And forever we're going to be with the Lord. Well, let's look back in verse 8 here and see how he starts out. And he says, unto the angel of the church in Smyrna. So, how many of you have seen the angel here? Okay, not too many hands are going up. And so, the angel, that's a word that means messenger. So, the messenger in the church here that's preaching here is usually Pastor Bond, no? And so, maybe you've seen him. He's here. And so, but written to these people, so that's a very, very good possibility. It's talking about the pastor. In chapter 1, it talks about that the angels are in the hand of the Lord. You look in there, and several places it says that. He that has in his right hand 7 stars. And you wonder who the 7 stars are. That's verse 16. But he says, the mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the 7 golden candlesticks, the 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches. So if the angels are the pastors, so the pastor's in the hand of the Lord. No? So that's a blessing. And so God's pastors are in his hand. He takes care of them. He's with them, directing their steps. And the candlesticks are the 7 churches. So these are things that we can keep in mind. And so he says, unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Well, you know, that's talking about our Savior. He died for us and paid the price for our sin. And We're not worthy of what all he did for us there on the cross. But he didn't stay dead. The third day he rose again, and that's great news. And so it says, these things saith he that was the first, is the first and the last. Well, who's the first? He's the firstborn of all creation. He's the creator. He's firstborn in that he's of first importance, the first rank. Who's more important than the Lord Jesus Christ in this world? And so, here he is, the firstborn of all creation. But here it says, these things saith the first and the last. And so it says these same things about him in the first chapter. I am the Alpha and the Omega, verse 8. The beginning and the end. So he's the first and the last. When all of us are gone, when all the people are gone, Jesus still will be reigning King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so, the first and the last, just dead and is alive. Well, the word here in the Greek said he was dead and he was alive. But he is alive too. Because he, after he went to heaven, yeah, he was alive on the earth and he's alive in heaven today. And it says, I know thy works. And if you look back in the original, it says, I have known your works. I've considered your works. And so he knows about us, what we're doing, and his service. You have to think, hey, what are we doing for heaven's sake? You know? I've known your works. So, I mean, we all got jobs, you know, we're doing somewhere and bringing in some money, but what are you doing for heaven's sake? I've known your works. So he's talking to the people here in the church and your tribulation. So there's some suffering to do, and they were maybe had different afflictions, troubles. Okay, he says, I know that. And your poverty. These people were, okay, they didn't have great riches, materially speaking. And so maybe they had to seem like didn't have hardly anything. But he says, but you're rich. So people can have, yeah, in the way of material goods, very little. But if they're diligent in serving Christ, he says, hey, you're rich. And so that's important. But you're rich. Wow. That thing makes you look at things differently. And says you're wealthy, you're abounding. And you know, it's true, we're abounding in blessings. And in a sense, we can live like kings of other ages. You just think back. What king could get in a chariot and run as fast as we go in our cars? And in their houses, they might have had great palaces, but I bet we got a lot more conveniences in our houses than they had in theirs. And so, here in chapter 1, it says that you're kings and priests. And so as we serve Christ, he gives us the opportunity to lead many people and to serve. And so here he says, hey, you're rich. So we need to be counting our blessings and not counting all our aches and pains and our problems. And wow, those are always with us too, you know. He said, but you're rich. He said, I know the blasphemy. Okay, there's certain people that are claiming to be the people of God that aren't. And maybe they speak against you because of the way you serve God. And he says, well, they speak evil of us. They speak evil of God. But here he says about them that they're not Jews, which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. People are sometimes troubled about all the different churches and why there's so many. Well, for every church that the Lord's raised up, then the devil has some others around and raises up others. And so to confuse the people. But here we see, I know the blasphemy of them that which say they are Jews and are not, and are the synagogue of Satan. Well, the synagogue of Satan could be a congregation, could be an assembly, and so that's what the Jews call their place where they worship. But and in the early church, many of the Jews were Christians. And so those were the first Christians, were the Jews. There on the day of Pentecost, when the Jews had come to Jerusalem to celebrate the great feast of Pentecost, and many Jews were scattered in many countries, but they'd like to go back to Jerusalem for Pentecost. And so on that particular Pentecost, then great things were happening. The people could hear the word of God being given in their own language. And so it talks about the day of Pentecost when the Spirit of God was manifested among the people. And so they heard him speak, everyone in their own language. So since the time of the dispersion, the Jews have been living in other countries, many of them. And so here he talks about the different countries where they were. And you have to look back into the book of Acts. So much in Revelation refers to other books in the Bible. But he says, the people were all amazed. Behold, these which speak, are they not Galileans? And we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born, hear him preaching, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia. Many of these places named aren't names we're real familiar with in the way of countries of the world they exist today. But they were real countries in that day. And the people were there from those countries and spoke those languages. They were Jewish people, but they had grown up in these other countries. They also could speak Hebrew, but they heard the word being preached in their language. And so they were amazed. And there's others I didn't mention. Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Africa, Cyrene, Cretensis, Arabes. So here it says that they were astonished and amazed, and some in doubt said what one to another, what does all this mean? Are these people drunk? Are they full of wine? But Peter stands up and uses the opportunity to give an explanation. Hey, this is about what was told about in the days of the prophet. Some prophet in the Old Testament, what was his name? Joel. That's right. And so Joel had predicted that time when, okay, they'd see visions, and so that was a great thing. And he could explain what was happening so that the people would understand. He said, this is that. So maybe at the end of chapter 2, where he says, shall come to pass afterward that pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Young men shall see visions. And also upon your servants and upon the handmaids, Those days will I pour out my spirit. I'll show wonders in the heavens, in the earth, blood, fire, pillars of smoke. Okay, well, all this didn't happen that day, but some of those things did. And so the people were wondering. And Peter's preaching, and he preaches Jesus. And for the Jews that were right there in Jerusalem, he's the one that they had crucified. And he brings it home to him that he who is the author of life, they've given him death. And it says they're cut to the quick. Now what shall we do? And their hearts are smitten because they followed the other Jews that, and they were part of them that were crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And here Peter has said that, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you've taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it's not possible that he should be held of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I saw the Lord always before my face, for he's on my right hand, that I should not be moved." And so, here the prophets have spoken of this Savior that was to come. He was to be a suffering servant. And he suffered for the people. And they crucified him. And so, but God raised him again, gave him life, gives us life as we trust in him. And now here in the last book of the Bible, this great vision has been given to John, and he's talking to the people and this church, and he says to them, "I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not." Well, a true Jew was one that was going to put their faith in the Messiah. And true Jews for all the years were saved by their faith in him who was to come, the Messiah. Here at the time when Jesus actually came, many Jews didn't put their faith in the Messiah. They didn't believe he was the one. There were many evidences given throughout the scripture, but maybe they didn't follow him, and it wasn't real clear to them. And so they took part in crucifying the Savior. Okay, well, in this day of Pentecost, many were converted, 3,000. But when you think of the thousands and thousands and many, many more thousands, that wasn't many. A few days later, there were 5,000. Still, that's still a small group in comparison to the many that were still in doubt. And so, here, when you get to the book of Revelation, and this written to the church in Smyrna, he says, "I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews." Okay, they're of descent of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but they haven't maintained faith in the Messiah that came. And so they're not true Jews. A true Jew is not just one that's, you know, of the born in the flesh and in the Jewish line, but one that's put their faith in the Messiah. And so that's why the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, but they are not completed Jews. They haven't trusted in the Messiah. So that's a big minus for them. He says, "I know your works, your tribulation, poverty, you're rich. Know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but the synagogue of Satan. So that's sad that they are not following Jesus. And so they become the synagogue of Satan. It's easy for us to start out with a great love for Jesus. And then later on, we sort of get separated. And we're not going for Jesus like we should. And so he says, fear none of those things which you shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. Ye shall be tried. Ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death. I'll give you a crown of life. Well, here he's talking to these people in Smyrna. And Smyrna was a city that was on the Gulf of the Aegean. It was one of the great cities of Asia. A seat of emperor worship. Okay, so it had a temple to Tiberius Caesar. And there were many Jews there that were hostile to Christianity. Oh, that's sad. And who later joined in the martyrdom of one of the saints. It says here, this epistle has a new pathos if we connect it with Polycarp. Maybe you've heard of Polycarp. Anybody heard of Polycarp? There he is. And so he was a disciple of John. And so John was with Jesus there at the cross. Jesus said to John, behold your mother. Okay, here. Take care of her. Speaking of his mother. And so, but John was with him in all those 3 years of ministry. And so, Irenaeus, who lived later on, but had been a boy when Polycarp was preaching, he told how in his boyhood he had heard of Polycarp preaching, you know, and how he had told about his time with the Lord and what all they did and his converse in early life in ministry with Jesus. And that would have been precious to Polycarp and maybe brought him comfort, because when he was 86, he was sentenced to be burned at the stake. And interesting what he said. I give hearty thanks, speaking to the Lord, that thou hast brought me to this hour, that I may have part in the cup of Christ. So he was glad to have a part in the sufferings of Christ for his church. And so Paul was wanting to know the sufferings of Christ and talks about that too. And so here Polycarp was glad to have a part in the sufferings of Christ. And here these people, they weren't warned that they're going to be suffering for Christ. Could be a warning for us too, no? If we're not accustomed to suffering for Christ, will we be willing to suffer for Christ? What suffering do we do for Christ? You know, it might be suffering for Christ to go out and visit and reach people for Jesus. Some people go, hey, I'm not interested in shut the door. Whether they shut it hard or soft, if you don't have your finger in the door, it's not going to hurt. And it's not usual that you'll put your hand in the door anyway. And so we need to be willing to suffer for Christ. He said, I know your works, your tribulation, your poverty. Okay, that's suffering. It's not like suffering in China. If you have two babies, you're going to lose your good job. You have to get some other job because they limit it to one baby there. Wow, that'd be sad, wouldn't it? We like to have big families. And then there you can only have one. Oh, that's the kind of suffering. And if you're a Christian, it's a communist country. They're going to persecute you for that. If you lived in a Muslim country, they might just go right out and kill you. And so, there's a lady coming to our church. She was from Iran. Wasn't making much money. Thought maybe she could go back and make more money in Iran. She left her Bible in Honduras to go back to Iran. She said, well, I got it on the phone. And so, I think I'd still want to have my Bible. And not just have it on the phone. And and we've been in contact with her, but the last contact, she still didn't have a job over there. Sometimes you forget what freedom's like and figure it out when you go back. It says, I know your tribulation, your poverty, but you're rich. Know the blasphemy of them that would say they're Jews and are not. So some of us, are we truly for God? We witness to go, willing to witness, go out and talk about Him in our work and wherever we go. Maybe if we go to school, talk about Him there and about the Savior. He said, well, the devil will cast some of you into prison. You may be tried. You'll have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death. I give you a crown of life. Wow. A crown of life. Well, that would be a wreath, a victor's crown, you know. And in the games they had, and everybody be striving to win, one would get the crown. And wow, that was a crown of honor and glory. Wow, he's going to become famous. And so certain privileges given for that. And so, to have the crown of life. Well, he said, I'll give you a crown of life. Well, that was a great thing to have. Still is. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. What are we going to do with those crowns? Yeah, well, we hadn't got them yet. And so, we don't have to worry about what to do with them, yeah. But if we had them, to cast them at Jesus' feet. In gratefulness for what He's done for us. And might pray that we'll be faithful unto death. Might get going, giving out the word, and to start being faithful. How are we going to be faithful to death if we're not even faithful in this little thing that's the Great Commission in these days? So He said, be faithful unto death. But if we don't do it, are we really being faithful? We're not even being faithful when death even isn't close. And so how are we going to be faithful when we get older? I hate to see people turn around and turn away from the faith. I wish it wouldn't close the door so quick so I could talk to them some. I don't want to hear anymore. Well, I mean, wow. You know, we need to go for God and be excited about it. And it's sad to see people don't want to be faithful in that. And but that was, if you check in the Gospels, that was Jesus' important command right there before He ascended into heaven. Is need to give out the gospel. And there in Matthew, He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Well, if you go and you get them saved, that's just the first little bit. You got to disciple them, tell them about everything that's in the Bible. You can't do that in the first or second visit. That takes a lot of time to disciple people. Well, got to keep at it. Hope these people that we've been talking to will get discipled. That's important. And we don't do it in our own strength because He started that in verse 18. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. I'm going to give you the power to go. I'm going to go with you. Going to be present with you so that the job's going to get done. And so that's in Matthew. What does he say in Mark? Look at it, Mark. These are good verses to try to learn. In Mark 16, verse 15, he says, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And so there's the go again. Luke, does he say it? Well, it may be. And so, he says in verse 46, thus is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Okay. So, he was telling the disciples to go. Are any disciples of Jesus here? Amen. Okay. It's important that we be going. You got to start going across the street, you know. Or maybe next door. And so, that's what God wants us to do. So, we saw it in the first three Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Probably John doesn't have it, does he? Or does he? We have to look and see. Oh, and here it is in John chapter 20. He says, peace be unto you, verse 19, the last two words. And when he had so said, he showed to them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Oh, so he was sent from heaven to give the message of the Father to the world. And he said, so send I you, get going. So you get going in your neighborhood. Reach him for Christ. That's what we do down in Honduras. Go around the neighborhood. Go around the next neighborhood. The next neighborhood. Reaching people for Jesus. And so, then you got to try to get them in where they'll hear the word. Or go around and keep talking to them. So they'll stay interested. Can get them to come to church. They can get discipled at church. If you can't, then you got to keep going visiting. Okay. So here's the gospel and the Great Commission and all four of the evangelists. And God wants us to get going for him. Don't worry, he says, about the things you're going to suffer. Saying to this poor church, hey, if you're poor being a preacher, or poor being a witness for Christ, don't worry about it. God's going to supply. You know, our work is to serve God. And so maybe that's we have a job somewhere to give us a little money to eat. But our vocation is to serve God. And so we want to put him first. Says, he that hath ears to hear, he that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Are we overcomers? Oh, overcomers, who are they? Well, they're the victorious ones, you know. And so, we need to be those that are prevailing. We get the victory. Keep giving the word. Okay, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. You know, there are two deaths. The first death is when we die physically. The second death is when a person's cast into the lake of fire. Well, if we go for Jesus, we're not going to be cast into the lake of fire. And so that's a great thing. I don't think any of us wants to go to the lake of fire. And so we need to get going for Jesus. How do we know we're for Jesus? Is there any way we can know for sure? Well, Romans 10, 9 and 10 says this. It says, if you shall confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus, let's talk about Jesus to others, you know, and shall believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So, are we sharing the message? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so, hey, we can do that almost daily. Be confessing Jesus. There's some people that no longer want to confess Jesus. They turned away. We don't want to be those that have turned away. Well, I'm not going to do that part. I'm not going to confess Jesus anymore. It's sad there's people that's that way. They take that position. Well, I did that when I was a youth, but now my heart's grown cold. And I've sort of gotten accustomed to not doing it. And so it's sort of easy on my soul. I'm not bothered by not obeying God. And so then we don't do it. And so sometimes in our soul we get accustomed to doing things that don't please the Lord. And it doesn't please the Lord if we're not active for Him and sharing the Word. Got a lot of people in church, but there's a few empty spaces that could be filled with other people. But a pastor can't reach everybody. And so it takes the people going for Jesus. Well, Pastor, you don't know. I'm so busy with my work. I don't have any time for that. Well, there's people you see in your work. Invite them. Yeah. And there's people you meet in the neighborhood, invite them. Share the gospel. It's important. And God's counting on us to be His witnesses. This person was a martyr because he was a witness for Jesus. And that's the way that we could become martyrs, is witnessing for Jesus. Will you go? Will you be a witness for Jesus? He's calling. Do you respond? How do you say, yeah, I'm going? We all live somewhere. There's got to be some neighbors. Let's go see them for Jesus. And maybe my time's up for the first time. God bless. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you that your word's quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, and even cuts away our excuses for why we shouldn't go and be a witness for Jesus. And I'm busy, don't like to do it, don't know what they're going to say, and what they're going to think about me if I go and witness for Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that your Spirit and the sword of the Spirit would prick our heart to do the first works. Jesus says, I've known your works. I've seen what you're accustomed to doing and what you're not doing. And I'm calling you to be faithful, to be a faithful witness. And we saw here these that were suffering for their witness. Help us, Lord, to be willing to suffer for our witness. As suffering hadn't come for witnessing in the States yet, but it could. And help us to be one to witness when there's no suffering, and even in the future, if there's suffering, to still be able to go out and witness for Jesus. Help us to do it, dear God, we pray. And give us the boldness. Paul said, and that boldness might be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So help us to do it, Lord, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.